because that's exactly what you all are doing.
Lawmakers in Tennessee have approved a bill allowing certain teachers to carry firearms.
It would create a deterrent across our state.
The bill will allow teachers to carry concealed handguns on a school campus if they meet certain requirements.
ABC's Andrea Fajii. President Biden today signs the $95 billion foreign aid package that the Senate did the final legislative sign-off on last night. $60 billion for Ukraine, lesser amounts for Israel, Taiwan, and Indo-Pacific allies. Donald Trump's hush money trial is off until Thursday. On Tuesday, the judge made no ruling on whether Trump has repeatedly violated a gag order in the case. This is ABC News. At the Port of Baltimore,
we are on track to have four different channels available to commercial transit by later this week.
Maryland Governor Wes Moore announcing what will be the opening Thursday of a 35-foot deep channel now that a 560-ton hunk of structural steel from the destroyed Francis Scott Key Bridge was removed. There are already three shallower channels open.
One with a controlling depth of 11 feet, one with a controlling depth of 10 feet, one with a controlling depth of 20 feet.
Banning book bans? Minnesota's legislator debating a bill that would put a stop to library book bans. Bloomington High School senior Shay Ross.
Saying that they can't learn about things like racism and sexual assault isn't protecting them. It's harming them in the long run because they have less information to go off of when interacting with the real world around them.
Lawmakers in over a dozen states are pushing bills imposing harsh penalties on lawmakers or librarians who make banned books available. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariana. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Matt Mayer on air.
We Energies said the raccoon came into contact with some equipment in a substation. I just have this vision of this raccoon being egged on by his buddy raccoon going, touch them both. See what happens. Do that. Then touch that one.
They're not cute. They're not cuddly. They are disease-ridden, opposable thumb-having little trash pandas.
Matt Mayer on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
And our family.
That's the Pacers' Tyrese Halliburton with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful. It's the least that you can do.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Mostly sunny today and not windy. Our high 47 this afternoon. The wind northeast at 5 to 15. Tonight down to 30, a little frost overnight. And then tomorrow, sunshine 57. By Friday, breezy with rain and a high of 61. Scattered showers and thunderstorms are likely through the upcoming weekend. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now it's 31.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny.
I wonder what Matt Damon's mom would say when it comes to teaching science to little kids.
Wait, what? You want to know what my mom would say? All right, well, just ask her.
And there she is, Dr. Nancy Carlson Page. Welcome to Busted Pencils. Nancy, how are you?
Hey, I'm great. It's great to see you. It's great to be here.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Thank you. I-43 to I-41. This is the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
If you need to know about farming, then you need to know Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Well, it looks like the Wisconsin State cranberry growers are going to be welcoming in a new executive director in the next month or two. That's one of the stories I start you off with on a Wednesday morning. Come on in, everybody. It's the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. You might want to huddle closer. It is a little on the chilly side this morning. In fact, a lot of you have a frost freeze advisory in effect until about 8 a.m. today. The good news from my perspective, the wind is going to die down. But I'll tell you what, the temperatures are not nearly going to be where we'd expect them to be for the 24th day of April. Sunshine on the way today, calmer winds, the daytime highs. Oh, let's see, in the Madison, central Wisconsin, western Wisconsin area, probably touching out around 54 degrees, but that's not going to happen until later this afternoon. Along the lakeshore, you're going to stay chilly all day long. The best you'll see, probably around 44 degrees at 3 o'clock this afternoon. Like I said, for this morning, it's going to stay in the mid to upper 30s, maybe 40s by about lunchtime, 50s if you're lucky by later this afternoon, and then overnight, a calm evening that could again take us with temperatures back down to around freezing. Stumacher Ag Meteorologist will paint you a better picture with his forecast on the way. We're also continuing to focus in on Earth Week. Agriculture always says Earth Day is every day on the farm. Stephanie Hoff caught up with one of our young producers on their focus of conservation, sustainability, traceability, and how that turns into an Earth Day message. Plus, perseverance. Anybody in agriculture today, you've got to have perseverance. You know that. It's not just about agriculture, but it is the tie that binds us. Charity Seebecker's got a pretty cool story about how perseverance has led one young woman that's been physically challenged to still be able to find a way to be involved in the rodeo industry. That's all on the way. I start you off this morning with a conversation I had with the new dean of the UW School of Veterinary Medicine. His name, Dr. Jonathan Levine. He is going to be taking over the reins of that newly expanded vet school, including more teaching space and soon more hospital space on the UW-Madison campus, officially on August 1st. I thought it would be nice to find out a little bit more about the man behind the position. What motivates him? What goals does he bring to the post? And Dr. Jonathan Levine, where did you come from?
I grew up just a little bit north of New York City, and I went to a small private school, and pretty much everybody in my graduating class was interested in business. And kind of without thinking, really without contemplating things very deeply, I became an economics major. And Cornell University at that time had an ag school, still does, of course, and they offered the opportunity to get economics training. And so it was an in-state institution, was affordable, and so I went in that direction. And what happened to me was I really quickly fell in love with biology, and so became a biology major, and then got interested in healthcare and actually went to medical school, if you can believe that, for a year before realizing that that wasn't for me. And after a lot of contemplation and encouragement, I turned towards veterinary medicine. I was lucky enough to be admitted back to my alma mater. And, you know, kind of the rest is history. What's interesting, you know, for me is that I learn a lot about myself by doing. I don't know about you, Pam, but it's by dipping my toes in the water and seeing how it feels, I figure things out. And so when I was in vet school, I thought that I would end up in California and surf and be in general practice. And so I actually made it out to California one of the summers in vet school, and I saw the ocean, and I was terrified. And so my friends had me pegged as an academic. They were absolutely right, and through a lot of different twists and turns, I ended up at Texas A&M to do my residency and then came back and became faculty here. And so that's really my, journey from childhood to facultyhood. Mm-hmm. And probably one other thing to say is that I had so many great mentors along that journey, from my mom, who was a single mom and fought so hard to ensure that we had great education, to my grandfather, who was a city court judge and taught me a lot about integrity and public service, to scientists and practitioners. I couldn't have got to Texas A&M to start my academic career without them.
Mm-hmm. I do want people to know that, that's fascinating that the ocean turned you around. But tell them you do have hands-on experience, though, with animals, Doc. It's not like you're just academic and have never been on, shall we say, the business end of an animal.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm a board-certified neurologist. I was residency trained out at TAMU, Texas A&M, and University of Missouri. And most of that training is small animal focused, but I've been around neurologic horses and cattle and goats, for example, and sheep. And, you know, that's a clinical training program. And from the day that I became a board certified neurologist and started working in academia, I also started working in private practice. Oh. I don't know if you know that, Pam.
No, I didn't.
And so I've been a consultant for specialty practices, for general practices, for practices focused on animal imaging since 2005. And it's been really critical to my journey to understand what happens out there in the world. Because you're right, if you're siloed in the ivory tower, you can't train your students necessarily effectively, and you don't understand the industry. Mm-hmm. It's probably also important for me to emphasize that for your audience, that when I was in undergraduate school and in the ag school at Cornell, I spent a lot of time around folks from with rural backgrounds, and had the opportunity to visit their family farms, including a little town called Barker, New York, where one of my best friends came from, a town of 500 people. And at my vet school, we also all were required to have mixed animal experiences. So I've done ambulatory rotations and had experiences at small dairies, at larger, more, I hate to use the word industrial, but industrial dairies. And so that background's been really important to me in my leadership.
Interesting. Now, tell me about Texas A&M. For those of us that have never necessarily investigated it or experienced it, tell me a little bit about the model that goes on at Texas A&M as it relates to my farming audience.
Yeah, well, we're an agricultural university, a land-grant university. And just like Wisconsin, one of our key missions is to educate the state, but also to serve all of the communities in the state. We're a large vet school with a broad reach, so we've got a student class of about 200. That's more than double Madison's student population. We have a branch rural campus that's out in that's partnered with West Texas A&M University out in the Panhandle, focused on beef and other agricultural interests. We also have a strong scientific portfolio that spans infectious disease, clinical trials, you name it, and, we've got our arms in it. I think one thing to emphasize, so I've been a faculty member here for about 20 years. I've been a department head for 9, and even though we're a small animal department, we have been very, very intentionally focused on outreach, and a lot of the outreach we do is to rural communities. I don't know if you knew, if you know that. Our programs that we run out of our small animal department are they're pretty varied. One of them is a once-a-month clinic that we do out in a community called Bastrop, where we help underserved elder populations in collaboration with public health and other health professions to ensure that their animals have access to care. Mm-hmm. We also run vaccine clinics in a community called Caldwell, which is quite rural, and help ensure that individuals out there have access to veterinarians. And access to veterinarians in rural America, mm-hmm. as you know, is a huge challenge.
Yeah.
One of the other outreach highlights that we have is our veterinary emergency team, and they've been very, very involved on the Texas-Mexico border with those communities, but also recently out with the Smokehouse Creek fire in West Texas.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, tell me more about that, Dr. Levine, because that's one of the first tidbits that I asked the doctor about. That was under your charge, so to speak, that mobilization to help livestock owners, particularly in that Smokehouse Creek fire.
Well, I want to give very well-deserved credit to Deb Zoran. And Deb is a faculty member in my department. She's an incredible person who leads our veterinary emergency team. And she works with very closely with another staff member in my department, Noberto Espedia, Dr. Espedia, who's a military veteran, an incredible support. And she has a very, very sizable team that can deploy out to a variety of different emergencies. And that group, and there were 35, I believe, individuals that were affiliated with the vet team that went out to West Texas. I think they did an amazing job caring for the working dogs that were out there. They also lent assistance to the emergency responders, to cattle that were injured, to some small animals that were injured in that fire. It was one of their longer deployments, and it's a fire that I think the Panhandle community is still recovering from, right, that's really affected their industry.
Dr. Jonathan Levine from Texas A&M University, soon to be the new dean of the UW School of Veterinary Medicine on the UW-Madison campus, effective August 1st, but he's already meeting with a lot of university leaders, agriculture leaders, staff on the campus with the UW Vet School. We'll continue to follow up with Dr. Levine. If you want to hear the entire conversation I had with the incoming veterinarian, pop on over to our podcast, MidwestFarmReport.com, and you'll find it there. Stu Muck, we'll find him next with our weather forecast.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke. From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones in your area. Check 511WI.gov or download the free 511 app to see current road work, closures, detours, and camera views on your route. Wherever your travels take you, know before you go with 511WI.gov. That's 511WI.gov. And remember, know before you go. Always park the phone while driving. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
Fabulous Farm Bay Pam Jahnke here with the Midwest Farm Report live weekday mornings right here on WGBW. It's about your food and where it comes from. Tune in and learn. 5 a.m., 1590 a.m., 97.9 FM, the talk of Green Bay.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Luke, I'm just going to say it again. The real problem here was that goofy in-season soccer tournament that they had. That threw everything
That's
off.
What are you talking about? That was December basketball. You just couldn't figure out the rules.
You're exactly
Todd.
Right. There are goofy rules I couldn't figure out. I don't like them.
You would not do well with driving on the left-hand side of the road.
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely
you would
not.
Just yeah. start freaking out. Yeah.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's a fun fact for you. The average chameleon can point their eyes in two different directions. On the other hand, the average human can't. So unless you're a chameleon, there's absolutely no way you can focus on texting and driving at the same time. So don't do it. Unless you're a chameleon.
Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
And the mayor in the morning and the talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Portage and trying to get some of those broadband internet connections hooked up. You can always feel free to share what's going on in your community on our talk text line. Maybe it's broadband. Maybe it's something coming up with fairs. Maybe there's a special event. Whatever it is, share it with us. We'll share it with the audience. All you have to do is use 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. That's exactly where you'll have a chance to share rainfall reports. I think we're going to have some of that coming our way. Stumach Ag Meteorologist joining us on our Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update. Holy pea pods, it's a little crisp out there this morning, buddy.
It's a little crispy this morning, especially in the west. I mean, northeast Iowa, southeast parts of Minnesota, and western Wisconsin, Buffalo, Trempealeau, Clear, Chippewa County. They had that freeze warning until 8 a.m. South central and southeast Wisconsin with a freeze watch from midnight tonight till 8 a.m. tomorrow. It will get colder in south and eastern Wisconsin tomorrow. Couldn't help but see that full moon out the window this morning. That means skies are clear, and of course, that does mean we'll have a more sunny day, but the temperature is not quite so mild like yesterday. A little cooler today, but then clear skies and sunshine tomorrow. We start to warm up. The next system is low pressure that's going to move right east in Nebraska, as we make our way into Friday. On the approach of that system, clouds develop, and I expect we'll talk about rainfall for Friday and Friday night into Saturday. And that's where we'll get those rainfall amounts. I think we're going to start at least into Friday and Friday night, talking upwards of 1/4 inch, if not a little bit more. And then we could add that 1/4 inch Saturday and even on into Sunday. We may be talking rain amounts upwards of 1 inch or 1.5 inches as we wrap up the weekend. I'll have forecast details right after this.
Just in time for the grilling season, Bavaria Sausage expanding their retail hours. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here, fresh off a visit to Bavaria Sausage at the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg, now open Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, 9 a.m. until 6 p.m. Those are the expanded days of operation, giving you wonderful opportunities to step in and get ready for your grilling supplies, like their always popular red lager beer brats. Take a look at the smoked bratwurst. Maybe you're looking at some of the pre-cooked bratwurst they've got available. Whatever you're looking for, they've got it ready for the grill. And check back often, because I'm really impressed with some of the new flavors that are being developed by Bavaria Sausage. Always with respect to the old world traditions, but also adding a new zing to some of our traditional favorites, like Landjagers. Start shopping now, BavariaSausage.com. All right, Stu, let's talk a little bit about this. What is our normal temperature supposed to be about this time of year?
Believe it or not, we should be in the very upper 30s or about 40 at daybreak, and daytime highs are in the low 60s.
Wow. Yeah, we're not going to hit that today.
No, not going to do that at all. Our Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update does, of course, include that freeze warning in northeast and northeast Iowa, southeast Minnesota, and western Wisconsin. That's until 8 this morning. And I expect that although there may be a few clouds in the east, more sunshine develops for the day. Temperatures in the mid-50s, upper 50s try to build in the west. Northeast winds today 5 to 10. The freeze watch in effect tonight, southern and southeast Wisconsin until 8 a.m. on Thursday. I expect clear skies, a cool night, 30 or upper 20s many places, southeast winds at 5. After a little frosty start in the east, sunny tomorrow, and low 60s develop, southeast winds 5 to 10. And then by Friday, that rain chance, showers maybe in the morning in the west, later in the day east, temperatures pushing to 60 p.m., southeast winds are windy. On Friday, 30-35 mile-per-hour gusts.
Yee, wicked. All right. Well, I'll check in with you tomorrow. We'll start getting the rainfall reporters in form for what's coming later this week.
Well, yeah, we can get that frost report tomorrow.
There we go. Okay. Thanks, buddy. See you later.
See ya.
Stu Mucker, Ag Meteorologist, with your Compure Financial Ag Weather Update on a Wednesday. Compure Financial is your financial partner committed to agriculture in rural America. Go to compure.com. Find all the resources there. Rainfall reporters, get your game on.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. April 22nd, the U.S. Supreme Court declined a 2020 Texas case testing whether the state's no-excuse mail-in voting law for seniors discriminated against younger voters. Texas offers mail-in absentee voting to all seniors 65 and older, as do eight other states. For anyone else in Texas, you must be sick or disabled, expecting to give birth within 3 weeks before or after Election Day, absent from the county during voting or Election Day, or legally confined but otherwise eligible. A group of Texas voters under 65 brought suit, arguing that allowing seniors to vote by mail without an excuse, but not offering it to other able-bodied adults, amounted to age discrimination under the 26th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. It reads, "The right of citizens of the United States who are 18 years of age or older to vote shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of age." Democracy Docket reports that a federal district judge temporarily agreed with the plaintiffs but later dismissed the case. The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals upheld the lower court, and the voters appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court. Monday, the court declined to hear the case, leaving Texas voters to continue to fight for equal access to mail-in ballots. We have more on Texas mail-in ballot rules at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, and on the Civic Media app. Earl Ingram.
In Wisconsin, parents pay one-third of their income on child care. Think about what we need our income for. Shelter, food, clothing, gas bill, electric bill. And we're talking about one child. This is a crisis. Young families are saddled with what is almost impossible to deal with.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Tennessee's solution to school shootings? Authorized teachers to pack heat. Lawmakers on Tuesday approving it.
Amid protests and after a heated debate,
rename this bill the Refusal to Protect Kids in Schools Act. Because that's exactly what you all are doing.
Lawmakers in Tennessee have approved a bill allowing certain teachers to carry firearms.
It would create a deterrent across our state.
The bill will allow teachers to carry concealed handguns on a school campus if they meet certain requirements.
ABC's Andrea Fajii. President Biden today signs the $95 billion foreign aid package that the Senate did the final legislative sign-off on last night. $60 billion for Ukraine, lesser amounts for Israel, Taiwan, and Indo-Pacific allies. Donald Trump's hush money trial is off until Thursday. On Tuesday, the judge made no ruling on whether Trump has repeatedly violated a gag order in the case. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers calls Donald Trump's criticisms of Megan Wolf lies and irrational. Wisconsin's top election official got increased security after recent threats. Evers says if it keeps up, he might get the state Justice Department involved. Trump and his supporters accuse Wolf of orchestrating election fraud, even though they've produced no proof. Women running for office are on high alert for political violence this year. Threats not only pose a physical risk, they're putting women candidates at a financial disadvantage.
We see women candidates and incumbents right now having to pay for security, right? Having to put in their budgets, in their campaign funds, in their line items, you know, for their campaigns, a security detail.
Erin Velarde is with the group Vote Run Lead. She's urging party leaders to speak out against political violence. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers lose again to the Pirates. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Their crew could not get on base, losing 2-1 in Pittsburgh. Pat Murphy was pleased by the debut of right-hander Tobias Myers, even though the first batter he faced, Andrew McCutchen, hit a home run.
I think sometimes getting punched early is probably a good thing, to be quite honest with you. I think that said it all, what he did the next, 15 outs.
NBA, the Bucks lost at home to the Pacers, 125-108. Milwaukee pulled it within 4 points, then fell behind by 20 in the final period. Chris Middleton.
Siakam made some tough plays. Turner hit some shots. But I think for the most part, their pace after I missed shots just, killed us tonight.
Game 3 is Friday at 4 p.m. in Indy. The Pacers' Tyrese Halliburton is from Oshkosh, but mentioned this after the game.
My little brother in the stands the other day was, called the N-word. I didn't sit right with anybody in our, in our family.
That's the Pacers' Tyrese Halliburton with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Mostly sunny today and not windy. Our high 47 this afternoon. The wind northeast at 5 to 15. Tonight down to 30, a little frost overnight, and then tomorrow sunshine 57. By Friday, breezy with rain and a high of 61. Scattered showers and thunderstorms are likely through the upcoming weekend. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now it's 31.
Mino and the Mayor.
Well, Matt, this is really great. I'm glad I called your football game that night.
Yeah, me too.
I still remember that. That's the last game I ever did at the Bonta Bowl.
I think that might be the last game I ever played at the Bonta Bowl also.
Yeah.
So we share that together.
What a great place that is, though.
I loved it, man. Playing on that field, it was so loud being in the bowl there. The crowd noise.
Exactly. Yeah. I still remember that night. It was a rainy night.
Yep.
Isn't that funny? I got weird memories of games.
It is.
Bizarre.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 until 9 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, and on the Civic Media app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
In honor of National Cheese Ball Day, what food totally disgusts you? For me, it's anything where cheese is crammed together and soft. Why you would put it all into a ball or a log or a loaf, I don't understand. What about you, Conrad? You got a disgusting food?
I like tuna. It just can't be from in a can. It just has the worst smell in me. I just think it's nasty.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. Mino and the Mayor.
Terry Barr.
Yes.
From Slice of Wisconsin is standing by. Hi, Terry.
Hi, guys.
How are you, Terry?
I feel like I should be a referee right now.
Sorry to keep you waiting.
You should have been here an hour and a half ago.
Absolutely, when it was really hard.
Right.
A
little blood on the floor, but we're okay.
Yeah, we're okay.
We got a cleaning crew here.
Good. Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 until 9 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, and on the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Your home for the Devil's Advocates, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW.
Here, money grows in rows. This is the Midwest Farm Report.
I hope you covered up your rows if you've got anything early out in the garden or sensitive posies that you wanted to protect. Farmers can't really cover up 40 acres plus out there, but we do have a frost freeze advisory in effect till about 8 a.m. on this Wednesday. So some of that sensitive vegetation could be impacted if you didn't try to protect it. I'm Pam Yonke, by the way. Thanks so much for coming along for the ride on a Wednesday. Speaking of who's coming along for the ride, Monday was Earth Day, right? But we're kind of celebrating Earth Week all week long here on the Midwest Farm Report. Stephanie Hoff's catching up with some producers eager to share their stories about what they're doing every day in their farming practices to recognize how critical their relationship is with the earth. Stick around for that. So today is the 24th day of April. What can I tell you? Let's see, on this day in 1957, the Suez Canal reopened after the Suez Crisis. It was a conflict between Egypt on one hand, France, the United Kingdom, and Israel on the other. It started in October of 1956 when Egypt basically said the canal would be nationalized. Well, it reopened on this day in 1957, but again, Suez Canal, one of those sticking points even to this day, trying to get freight moved around the world. Happy birthdays. Let's see. Happy birthday today to Kelly Clarkson. She's 42. Singer, actress Barbara Streisand. She's 82. Actress, comedian, dancer Shirley MacLaine is 90 years young today. And now you know. It's a Wednesday, and that means it's time for us to catch up with our friends from the Steffes Group. That's steffesgroup.com. Great website to get you started if you're looking to shop or looking to list. And also, remember, you can always give them a call if you've got questions. 800-726-8609. That's 800-726-8609. Ashley Yoon from the Steffes Group joining me on a Wednesday. And it looks like you're coming around Wisconsin later this week, huh, Ashley? Friday down at the Josh and Gretchen Camps operation just outside of Darlington with a cow-calf auction, some beautiful beef Angus. Tell me a little bit about that one.
Yeah, they've got a nice registered herd of black Angus cattle. So quite a number of heifers and cow-calf pairs are going to be sold there. And that'll be in the morning starting at 10 o'clock. And then right at 12:30, just after we get done with the cattle, we're going to sell a full line of equipment.
Wow. Yeah, and I'm just looking. If you want to see the cattle online, folks, just pop on over to steffesgroup.com and enter in camps, K-A-M-P-S, and you'll go right to their page. And this, it's very rare, Ashley, that we're seeing these kinds of cow-calf pairs going to market, I mean, or going to sale for people as opposed to going to market. You know what I mean? This beef cattle market is crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy, and that would indicate why we have so much interest in this sale. And again, they're registered, so we've got all the pedigrees printed out. I just looked at the book this morning the girls have put together. So if you're a registered bidder on-site, you'll be able to see that. Something unique about this is if you're an online bidder, you still have links to all the videos of the cattle on a per lot basis, which is kind of neat.
I might have to come down there and say hello to Josh and Gretchen myself. Ashley Hewn along with us from the Steffes Group. That's where the sale is going to be this Friday starting at 10 a.m. If you are looking for Angus cattle, this is the place to be. Registered black Angus cattle, cow-calf pairs that are going to be sold starting 10 a.m. in Darlington and online. Get the details now. Steffesgroup.com or give them a call if you're confused. Need a little help. 800-726-8609. That's 800-726-8609. Ashley Hewn along with us from the Steffes Group.
Rural Mutual Assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
When a company only does business in Wisconsin, that's Wisconsin Strong. Rural Mutual provides all lines of insurance, including commercial, farm, home, and auto. And your premiums stay right here to keep Wisconsin Strong. Local agents, local underwriters, local claims adjusters.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Our travel compass is pointed east. Hello, everyone. Farm Director Pam Yonke inviting you to join me on our captivating Cape Cod tour, October 19th through the 26th. We'll start in Boston with a tour of a nearby dairy, then a ferry ride to Martha's Vineyards where we'll meet alpacas, plus an unforgettable sand dunes adventure. Go to holidayvacations.com, enter keyword Pam for more information and to watch a travel show, or call 888-557-1020 for a brochure.
Don't let sick calves get you down and drain your profits. Get your calves up and moving with BioVet's Calf Electrolyte. Our base light product contains balanced electrolytes for restoring and maintaining proper fluid levels in scouring calves. Base light also provides additional energy to support recovery. It's easy to mix, and calves drink it down to the last drop. Learn more about base light at bio-vet.com.
Innovation. Welcome back on a Wednesday morning. Well, it looks like the Wisconsin State Cranberry Growers Association getting ready for some change. They have announced that their current executive director, Tom Lochner, who has been a service to the industry for 35 years, has announced he's going to retire this summer. In the meantime, though, he is going to help with the transition of the new executive director. Wisconsin Cranberry Growers have announced Dr. Grant Holly is going to begin starting mid-May working with Lochner to transition in as their executive director. Holly is an experienced executive director and international consultant with a great track record working with companies in the agriculture sector. Now, you got to keep in mind, the Wisconsin Cranberry Growers in Wisconsin is made up by 250 producers on 21,000 acres across 20 different counties in central and northern regions of Wisconsin. Cranberries make the largest fruit crop in the state, both in terms of size and economic value. And remember, Wisconsin leads the nation when it comes to cranberry production by quite a little bit. So congratulations, Tom Lochner, on a fantastic career, and welcome in Dr. Grant Holly as their next executive director. Markets this morning, not real impressive in overnight electronic trade. December corn right now is unchanged, 475. November soybeans currently penny lower at 1173. July wheat is down 4, 599 a bushel. Yesterday in Chicago, we had no change on barrel or block cheese. Double A butter, though, did slip another 3 cents, 297 a pound. The May Class 3 milk this morning is down 13 at $18. June milk down 14, currently at 1808 a hundredweight. You know, when you're looking at those kinds of numbers every day in your life, and a lot of years where margins are so very tight, being a farmer, being involved in agriculture, you really have to persevere. And that's just talking about the elements you know are going to be against you, like weather and the marketplace. But there are physical challenges, too, that can be presented through the course of your farming career. Charity Seebecker's got a very motivating story about a young woman that decided her passion for being involved in the rodeo would persevere over paralysis. Charity?
Growing up in the agriculture industry, you may have heard the phrases like cowboy up or cowgirl up. I know I did. But for Amberly Snyder, her will to cowgirl up is stronger than most. I'm Charity Seebecker from the Midwest Farm Report, and Amberly is a professional barrel racer that turned tragedy into triumph, as she shows just how resilient the agriculture industry really is.
A little bit on my story is I've loved horses my whole life, and I was started rodeo when I was 7 years old. By the time I made it into high school, I'd won a world all-around title and, you know, was trying to get myself ready for the pro rodeos when I was involved in a rollover truck accident, which left me paralyzed from the waist down. 18 months after that, I returned competing with a seatbelt on my saddle and am now the only professional paralyzed barrel racer in the United States.
So what was that moment that you decided to not let your accident define you and kind of get back on the horse, figuratively and, you know, literally?
You know, for me, I think it just comes down to if you love something, you just can't give it up. And so I knew I wanted to get back on a horse. I didn't know exactly how it was going to go. And I think that was the tricky part, is that once I got on, I realized how hard it was actually going to be. And so that was really the process of, okay, how can I mentally be ready for this, not only physically, seatbelts on my saddle, realizing that it's going to be different and make those adjustments. You know, I don't even know if I can say there was like one turning point. It's really just been a roller coaster.
So how has your perspective then changed of the industry?
My perspective of the industry, well, I mean, for me, I think my love of horses and appreciation for the teammates that they are for us, and not that I didn't have it before, but it has 100% grown. I mean, now my horses are truly my legs. You know, they're my freedom and what I get to do when I'm not in my wheelchair. So that's huge. And to honestly be surrounded by people who get that, I think that's my favorite part about the horse industry is, you know, from one crazy horse girl to the next. It's like, I get it. I get why you rely on them and you love them and you're willing to do so much for them.
And as a speaker, what message do you hope people get from your story?
Oh, when I hope people hear me speak, I hope that they recognize that everyone has challenges. And it doesn't always have to be something that you see. You know, I get people can see mine, but everyone's going to face something, and it might be on the inside. But regardless of what you face, you have been given the tools and you have the ability to overcome it and work through it. And through your ability to do that, you're going to inspire and motivate others to continue as well. I would just say, even whether it's in the rodeo arena or out, I just like to tell people, make sure you love your horse first and the sport second, because that truly is your teammate, and that is the one that gets to give you what makes you happy.
That was professional barrel racer Amberly Snyder. She added that regardless of your life situation, you need to set the goals to overcome the challenges thrown in your path, because life's little moments can become the biggest parts of your journey. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Where the fans own the team. This is the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Are you and your family weather ready? I'm Terry Barr, producer of the Slice of Wisconsin series. Wisconsin weather is ever changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Are you making plans to honor Mother Earth? April 22nd is Earth Day, and it's a Wisconsin idea. Our Senator Gaylord Nelson created the day in 1970. It was his way of pushing environmental issues onto the national agenda. And many demonstrated in support. It worked. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency formed by December of that year. And today, Nelson's daughter, Tia, continues her dad's efforts. The Earth Day theme this year focuses on the use of plastics. It includes a reminder of the goal for a 60% reduction in the production of plastics by 2040. If you want to find a cleanup or education event to help during Earth Day week, or anytime, check earthday.org. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on the talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, and on the Civic Media app. Mino and the Mayor.
We got Amanda here from the Howe Resource Center who fascinates me because she grew up as an Army brat, 4 different countries, 6 different bases.
Thanks, guys. You guys are such good supporters of everybody in this community. And the fact that you have this station that lets nonprofits, for profits, and just, it's just really great. And we really appreciate the support.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 until 9 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, and on the Civic Media app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
From I-43 to I-41. This is the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
And continues, we're really focused in this year on the iconic cream puff and the vision that a lot of folks have with that cream puff. It creates memories, it brings people together, and they want you to get ready to celebrate the 100 days until the Wisconsin State Fair. They've refreshed the image of the Wisconsin original cream puff and are really looking forward to consumers getting a chance to enjoy. I'm going to be talking about that a little bit later today. Jill Albanese from the Wisconsin State Fair staff catching up with me to talk about our century sesquicentennial farm salutes, all those farms and homesteads across the state that will be recognized for being in the family 100 or 150 years. We'll talk a little bit about the numbers, the applications, what counties seem to be moving ahead as far as that recognition. And I'll be bringing those informational tidbits to you coming your way tomorrow. Also, tomorrow, don't forget, we'll catch up with our friends from Everegg, Bryce Windecker, broker analyst, going to take a closer look at all things dairy, so look forward to that, too. And as always, we invite you to sign up for our daily e-newsletter. Then you don't have to worry about where you are. We'll send you all the latest Wisconsin food and farming news directly to your inbox. Just get signed up for our daily e-newsletter at MidwestFarmReport.com. Wrapping it up on a Wednesday morning, we want to continue the emphasis and conversation about Earth Day. Although the individual day was Monday, every day is Earth Day on our Wisconsin farms. And there are a lot of passionate young farmers out there that want to share that message. Stephanie Hoff caught up with one.
Farmers make up less than 2% of the population, but they are responsible for feeding the world. And that's why preserving natural resources for generations to come is vital in agriculture. For farmers, Earth Day is every day. Brooke Trustum joins us in studio. She's the sixth generation on her family's dairy farm in Evansville, Larson Acres. Brooke, you've told me this before. Your farm celebrates Earth Day every day, both in the barn and in the field. How?
A few years ago, we switched and went away from using tanker trucks to haul our manure from the farm to the fields. And we did that for the overall benefit of our community and to be more sustainable with our roadways, especially. Our roadways and just keeping more trucks off the road. We switched to a 5 miles of a 10-inch drag line. So that way we're able to keep less trucks off the road. We do still have trucks coming in and out of the farm, but that way we're able to make a bit of an impact to better our community overall.
Can you ballpark for us just how many trips that you've reduced or how many trucks that you've taken off the road by switching to a drag line?
When we were using the tankering trucks, we were running probably 4 trucks in and out of the farm 12 hours a day. So where they were taking load after load, oh, geez, probably had to be 50 loads a truck at least a day.
How many cows do you have on the farm?
We have 2,500 cows. So we milk 2,500 cows and run about 5,500 acres owned and rented land.
So that's one way that you're able to better use the nutrients that come out of the cow. Yep. How else are you using those nutrients in a sustainable way?
Yep. So we're using the nutrients that come from the cow. So we get the milk from the cow. Then we also get the other stuff. So we get the manure. And we're able to use that to applicate onto our fields. So we're able to use that and use a, kind of fork it into the ground. So you're making sure that those nutrients are properly applied to the land, making sure that it's getting right to the point of where it's going to work for the best for our crops.
And that's not the only thing in the barn that you guys are doing with conservation in mind or environmental sustainability in mind. The bedding for the cow is another way that you can do better for the planet, right?
Yep. So we like to tell people that our cows sleep on the beach. Our cows every day go to the parlor and then they come back and they take a nice cozy nap on the beach with our recycled sand. We went from having 30 truckloads in and out of the farm of sand every single day to now only bringing in maybe one load a day to keep that sand replenished. With the sand we're recycling, we're able to bring it to the site where we separate it from the manure, wash it, and then wait for it to dry 3 days, and then take it back into the barns where the cows get to lay on it and be nice and comfortable.
We talk about how farmers are the original conservationists, because if they weren't, there wouldn't be a sixth generation on the farm. I was wondering if you could give us a history on the family farm, maybe when the first conservation practices started that led to you being on the farm.
So our farm started back in 1957, and we're really proud of how we've grown and how we've developed and developed our, whether it's our crops, our cows. For example, we went from 120 cows to 1,800 cows about 25 years ago. And we're really excited about how that growth and that expansion has allowed us to not only provide for everybody on the in the family that is wanting to get involved on the farm, but also being able to provide now 75 jobs in our community. Today's farms really focusing on providing economic resources to your community, because we're providing that many jobs and that many people then going back into our community to continue to sustain it. Along with that, another example of how we're sustainable on our farm is our cows now produce more milk than they ever had before. And that's through different genetics. That's through their family history. We have the history records on all of our cows. So we're able to kind of watch how they've developed over time. And we're proud to say that our cows now produce about 100 pounds a day average.
Doing more with less. Farmers are among the first to adopt practices that reduce emissions, enrich the soil, and protect the water, all while producing more food, fiber, and fuel than ever before. Brooke Trustum along with us. She is the sixth generation on her family's dairy farm, Larson Acres, in Evansville, Wisconsin. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke. From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
The Regional Conservation Partnership Program, 10 years later, up next on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits, like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops, and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for Rizol from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture's Regional Conservation Partnership Program has incented groups of farmers and other land managers to adopt conservation practices for 10 years now. USDA Undersecretary for Farm Production and Conservation, Robert Bonney.
So many of our conservation challenges don't exist just on one parcel of land. They cover an entire watershed or an area that might host certain wildlife, or in order to be successful to reduce soil erosion, we need to work across a lot of different producers, a lot of different landowners. What this program allows is local partners to do exactly that, to work directly with NRCS and local producers to implement conservation practices and do it at a scale that can be really meaningful for whatever resource issue you're trying to address.
USDA says 83 projects were funded with $1 billion last year. This year, he says, a record $1.5 billion is on the table.
Most of the money is going to be targeted at climate-smart agriculture and forestry. Again, practices that can benefit production, agriculture, and forestry, even while we reduce greenhouse gas emissions. This is all voluntary. It's all incentive-based.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Darrell Anderson.
It's a polka party, and for good reason. 30 years ago, legislation making the polka our state dance became official in Pulaski.
I think everybody in Pulaski showed up in Zielinski Hall or on the streets because it was a polka day celebration.
That's then-Governor Tommy Thompson who signed the legislation in April 1994. But do you know who got the barrel rolling on the idea in the first place? The Wisconsin Polka Boosters, a class of second graders, or the State Folk Museum? The answer coming up.
It's tradition. It's culture. It's food. It's beer. You know, heritage.
Heritage back to the 1840s when the polka became popular with Europeans and came to America with them. So who started the Make Polka Our State Dance movement? A class of Madison second graders, but the Boosters and Folk Museum supported those efforts. It's a cultural slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Bust in pencils.
We'll keep talking about it because it is an important thing happening in our world and in our culture, whether you're in education or in any field. It's part of your day-to-day right now. Like, hey, what's the role AI is going to play in this?
We give every assignment the kids turn in, we put it through
AI detectors, there's no ability for a student to opt out of the surveillance.
Busted Pencils, weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.